Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We've got a number of people visiting with us. We're very glad that you took the time to come and worship God with us this morning. Have a couple of announcements and a prayer, and then we will get into our lesson. This is the last day to donate to the children's clothing drive. We'll be sending that money off to David Marub in Kenya real soon. So if you would like to participate with that, we have the opportunity to do that. We've done that the last few years, and it helps the kids in the orphanage that they run there. Got a couple of prayer requests. Says, I've got to take my glasses off to read them. Terrence, let's see. Is this from you, Terrence? Oh, okay. Says, I would like for everyone to pray for me, Terrence's mom, and my husband's health to get better, and pray for my family to stay together and to help each other. I pray for the homeless, that someone will help them. And this is from Brenda Johnson. Tell you, those are good thoughts at this time of year and every day. And then another prayer request was a friend's mother was diagnosed with cancer. Her name is Evangeline, and she starts chemo treatments this month. She's 75 years old. The doctor seems to think that she is strong enough and will be able to tolerate and withstand the treatment. So we need to remember Evangeline at this time also. Let's go to God in prayer before we get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We're thankful for the avenue of prayer that we can boldly come before your throne and petition our requests. Dear God, first and foremost, we acknowledge that you are in control and we want your will to be done. Sometimes our will does not align with yours. We want your will to be done. Dear God, we come to you right now on behalf of a few people. We pray for Evangeline as she is undergoing treatment for cancer. We pray that it is successful. Our desire is that the doctors will give her the best treatment and that it will help kill that cancer that she's dealing with. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Brenda Jackson right now. Be with the prayers on her heart, that you be with her and her husband's health, and that you be with her family at this time. We ask that we as brothers and sisters can be an encouragement, a guide, and a strength to not only them, but to each other. Be with us as we continue our worship to you. Please accept everything we do and say with praise and honor. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We had a wonderful, so far, having a wonderful worship to God. And as we continue in another portion where we look into God's word, we had a wonderful Bible class. Those of you that aren't in the habit of coming to Bible class this morning, I encourage you. You're probably starting to make resolutions for the new year and so forth. That would be a good one, is to attend Bible class. But we were talking, Tracy is doing a class on hermeneutics, and one of the topics that we have really been focusing on is taking scriptures or passages out of context and the danger of just cherry-picking scriptures here and there to fit what you want it to fit. Well, today, We're going to look at a lot of scriptures taken out of context. Not necessarily taken out of context, but a lot of isolated scriptures going to do exactly what we were not supposed to do, but hopefully they are in context and support the ideas that we're going to be looking at today. The title is of this lesson is Open My Eyes. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see a passage here where this concept of open my eyes is a major theme in this passage. Starting in verse 15, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God arose," I want to pause right there real quick. As a Christian, what a fitting tombstone that would be for any of us. The servant of the man of God. To serve God. And to be a servant. Anyway, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" That would be a little disconcerting to wake up and look out there and your city is surrounded by the enemy. And the context of this is the Syrians had come and surrounded them. And they were people of war. And here he sees this massive army. And alas, my master, what shall we do? And it goes on to say, "So we answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." He's looking, they're surrounded, and Elisha comforts him, hopefully, and says, "We've got more than they do. The people of God and the power with the people of God is much more than the enemy is." He goes on and Elisha prays. It says, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." He just didn't see it. God's forces outnumbered the enemy, and he just didn't see it. We pray this very prayer that Elisha prays quite often. I'll hear men, especially before worship or before Bible class, you know, "Dear God, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may see the things that you want us to see." And we often, even though Elisha prayed it, we pray that prayer ourselves. And sometimes we just don't see what it is that God wants us to see, like this young man in this passage. And then he finally, you know, he was worried. And God had opened his eyes and he saw all's not lost. We actually outnumber the enemy. In Psalms 119, verse 18, this was the scripture that Kurt read earlier in our worship. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Yes, this scripture is isolated. It's taken out of context with the others. But it goes along with the idea of the same thing that Elisha was talking about. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. That law that's talking about is God's law. That we may see what God wants us to see. I think there's another. There we go. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Only God's law does that. God's word enlightens us. It shows us the way that we should go. To where if we are opening our eyes, fully opening our eyes, not going the way that we want to go, but opening our eyes to see the path that God wants us to go, we will see it. And it's His word that does that. A scripture that we use quite frequently is 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul was wanting Timothy, was reinforcing this idea to Timothy, where he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's actually this word inspired, it's God-breathed. It's not just, and I've heard people say, oh, the Bible is just written by men. They wrote the words that they were inspired by God. The Bible is the word of God. It's not the words of men that just wrote things down that they wanted. It is the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It doesn't partially equip us. It fully equips us for every good work that we need. And this word of God, this word of God that lights our path and is a light to our feet, this word of God that can show us the way, it's not only God inspired, but we, through the study of it, can be thoroughly equipped as Christians to serve God. And we make that prayer that Elisha did, open my eyes. It's not going to happen just because we ask. We're not going to understand the Word of God just because we ask. We actually have to open the book. We actually have to read those words, study those words, digest those words. We just don't ask and poof, we learn knowledge of the Bible without putting effort into it. Wouldn't that be nice? Just ask and I could be smart. I study and I'm still not smart. But wouldn't it be nice just to be able to ask? We actually have to study those scriptures. Jesus is talking here in Matthew 13. And he says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. You have ears, but you don't hear. You have eyes, but you don't see. That prayer of Elisha, open my eyes. That prayer we make, dear God, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things of your law. We actually have to see it and take it in. Not just read the words. Jesus goes on to say, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You think of the prophets in the Old Testament that prophesied about the coming Savior. They told others that he's coming. In fact, the whole Old Testament is arrows pointing to Jesus. The New Testament, the Gospels, he's here. And then the rest of the New Testament is he had come. Arrows are going all directions to Jesus. The prophets that Jesus was talking about, they wish they could have seen him. They told others he's coming. They would have loved to have seen him. They didn't get to. But they would have loved to. And he's telling his followers, you get to see what they wanted to. You get to see what the great prophets told others about. What did they see and hear? They saw the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. They got to see that. How blessed were they? The prophets preached about it. They told others that he's coming with great anticipation. Israel was looking forward to that Savior. The people that followed Jesus got to see it. They got to see the Son of God. They got to hear his teachings. They got to see his miracles. Sometimes it's easy to just kind of brush over, oh, he did miracles. He healed lame people. He gave sight to those that didn't see. Talk about open my eyes. He gave sight to people that were born blind. He raised people from the dead. They got to witness those. They saw and heard his plan of salvation, how to be saved. Jesus said in John 14, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's our whole point, is to get reconciled back to the Father. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And we know the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that conduit to get reconciled back to God, the Creator, the Father. only through me. He has given us the plan of salvation. Now, these are the words of Jesus. These are not what I say. These are not what Don says or Frank says, except that Jesus says them. I'd like to look at these real quick. These are, if you have been saved, you might be able to use these verses to teach somebody else. If you have not done these, by all means, take the handout. Look at it this week. Read them again so you can be saved. In Mark 7:14, it says, when he called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. It's kind of like what Jesus was saying earlier. Some people saw, but they didn't see. They heard, but they didn't understand. Hear me, everyone, and understand what I'm about to say. We have to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is telling them, hear me. I'm going to tell you what's important. After you've heard the word of God, man has a choice. They can either believe if they understand. You know, Jesus said, hear me and understand. If you understand, you have a choice to either believe it or not to believe it. Jesus said in John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I am he who? I am he, Jesus? Of course I believe that you're Jesus. No, believe that I am he, the Son of God, the Messiah. The Messiah that those prophets have been talking about. We have to believe. We have that choice to believe whether Jesus is the Son of God or not. We have to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. There is no use believing in Jesus if you're not going to change your life about it. And this belief that we're talking about is not just a mental acceptance. It is a changing, obedient belief that you will change your life because of what you believe. We have to confess that belief. Don't just keep it to yourself. Jesus said, Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And the very next verse says, and if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father. That is a confession that I want to make every day. We have to make it before men. We think, oh, that's easy. Ask Peter if it's easy every day. He had a hard time making that confession. When in any and all situations can we make that confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? When we're acting a certain way, can we verbally say that? Sometimes by making that confession, it's the end result is making us a hypocrite. This is not as easy. It's not just saying the words. It's not as easy as it may seem. We have to be baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. If you don't believe, you're not going to do any of the things Jesus said. Jesus says you've got to be baptized. That you've got to believe and be baptized. Case closed. And you have to remain faithful. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It's not always easy to remain faithful. In fact, the beginning of Christianity starts with baptism. Baptism is not the end result. That's where your Christian walk starts. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy in the surroundings that you're in. It's not always easy with the people you're around. I'm seeing some nods. I'm seeing some smiles. I'm seeing it in you. It's not always easy, but we have to. I love that quote. I think Franklin Roosevelt came up with it. When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Sometimes we just might have to do that. Hang on until it gets a little easier. Hang on until we're strengthened through the Word of God. Hang on until we're encouraged through prayer. Hang on until another brother or sister shows up and makes our load a little lighter. Jesus gave us the plan of salvation in His words. That's one of the things that His disciples saw, that they got to hear by being with Jesus. They saw the Son of God. They saw His miracles. They saw the plan of salvation. Open our eyes. Elisha's prayer was, open his eyes. Our prayer is, open our eyes. If you need to respond to the invitation, it's always there for you. If you are a Christian, if you have put your Lord on in baptism some time ago and you're struggling, the walk is a little tougher than you thought it was, and you need prayers, your brothers and sisters will pray with and for you right now. If you have not done those steps that Jesus requires, don't argue with me if you haven't. Take it up with Jesus. I didn't come up with it. I would have, if it was me coming up with it, I would have included Twinkies or something somehow in the formula. But I didn't come up with it. Jesus did. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, we urge you to do so. If we can assist you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.